Revelation 22, 16, the Word of God says, in my Bible it's red letter, so Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We're looking at this last week and this week as the bright and morning star. Jesus calls Himself the bright and morning star. And as we have looked already through this quarter, and as it's so quickly disappeared from us, it's amazing how quickly this quarter has gone by. We've looked at the titles of Jesus Christ. When we come back in a couple quarters from now, we'll continue this study and look at some of the additional titles of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. But as we've looked at these titles, they help us understand more of the work and ministry of Christ. And we've looked at a number of titles through this quarter, and as we come to today, the second part of the bright and morning star, last week we saw that the bright and morning star is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the characteristics of this title of the bright and morning star is that He guides us to the presence of the Father. This bright and morning star, Jesus Christ Himself, guides us to the presence of the Father. And we cannot get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the way, so of course He knows the way, so of course He can guide the way. So today we come to this second portion of this lesson, and we're going to see the bright and morning star shows us the grace that is extended through its light. Only through the light of the bright and morning star can we see the grace that is extended to us. Before, we were in darkness. We were in utter darkness. We were cast down. We knew not the Savior before we were saved. We might have heard of Him, but we had not received Him. And so in this life that we lived before Christ, we were in complete darkness, and we knew nothing of the grace of God. But by the light of the bright and morning star, we were made aware of this grace that is extended not only to us individually, but to all mankind. That's what I'd like to look at this morning. If we were to rise very early in the morning, earlier than probably most of us arise, but if we were to rise early in the morning while it's still dark out, not just right before daybreak, but maybe 2, 3 in the morning, if we were to go out and look into the eastern sky, we would see a very bright star every morning, always in the eastern sky. And as we look towards the eastern sky, we would see through the darkness of the night this brightly lit star. This bright shining star is known as the morning star. It's actually titled that through astronomy, the morning star. And the morning star is the friend to those who try to navigate by the stars, especially in the closing hours of the night as it proceeds towards dawn. They can look toward the eastern sky and they can see the morning star in the eastern sky, and it helps them to navigate. Its position in the late night sky is always in the east. It's always the brightest star in the east. And it shines so brightly that people can reckon navigation through it. And during the majority of the seasons, this morning star is considered by most astronomers as the planet Venus. It is the second planet from the sun. It is the closest planet to the planet Earth. And it is the closest in size to the planet Earth. And as it shines, we can't see the planet itself, but we can see the star, which is Venus, for the majority of the seasons. One truly remarkable characteristic of the planet Venus. You know, we look at the bright and morning star, we look at the morning star, there's got to be something special about it, some special characteristic about this star be called morning star, and then Jesus Christ is called the bright and morning star. There's got to be some unique, special characteristic about it in creation. And as we look down at our solar system, if we could go outside of our solar system and look down at it, we could look at all the planets as they rotate around the sun counterclockwise, all in a different type of orbit, all in a different length of time that they orbit, if we could look down at those planets, we would notice that every one of the planets goes around the sun, and they go around the sun counterclockwise. But then each planet also rotates on its axis as it goes around the sun. It's going around the sun counterclockwise, and then on its own axis it's rotating around the sun as well in that orbit. Every planet, as we look down at it, is rotating around the sun counterclockwise and rotating on its axis counterclockwise as well, except Venus. Venus is the only planet that rotates clockwise on its axis as it rotates around the orbit of the sun counterclockwise. So it's rotating clockwise while every other planet is rotating counterclockwise. A unique characteristic about one planet in our solar system. And by chance, I don't believe in chance, but by chance, the astronomers say this planet Venus is the morning star. And why is it in the eastern sky, I wonder? There's no chance. There's no such thing as luck. God created our solar system as He created all the universe, and He singled this one planet out to make it unique as a characteristic of astronomers look through their telescopes at this planet. They say, why in the world is this planet going clockwise while every other planet is going counterclockwise? And if you looked at it through the Big Bang theory or the gap theory or all those other theories out there of the creation of the universe and the world, you would say, well, how can one planet on its own start going counterclockwise while all the other planets are going counterclockwise? Because we have a great Creator. So this unique characteristic is only through the planet Venus, the morning star. It's a star like no other star. The morning star heralds in the coming of the day. You can see the morning star as you watch the eastern sky. You can see it until dawn breaks. It heralds in the coming of the day. And it's also closing out the darkness of the night. The morning star brings hope to those in the night that the day is soon approaching. The morning star ushers in another day of grace that is extended to all mankind. So this morning, let us look at this one aspect of the bright morning star as it relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look at the brightness of the light. The brightness of the star. The brightness of the morning star. The light illuminates the grace that is extended to us, to mankind. You know, we've heard this often, or maybe you have not, but there is an acronym for the word grace. If you put it down, acrostic, I'm sorry. If you put it down, and you put G-R-A-C-E down in a straight line, you could spell a word out from each of those letters that defines grace. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. It's undeserving merit and favor from God. We do not deserve the grace of God. We do not deserve the mercy of God. If you think you are deserving of that, you need to check yourself, because none of us are worthy of being called the sons of God. None of us are worthy of even going into the presence of God the Father. But this grace is illuminated. The brightness of the light illuminates the grace as it extends to us. Every day the stars are winding down the darkness of the night. It's illuminating the grace that has been extended to us of another day. Another day has been given to you. What are you going to do with it? Unmerited and undeserved favor from God, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Look with me in Luke chapter 1 as we see some of these illuminations of the grace of God. Luke chapter 1, look with me in verse 67. Luke 1, 67, of course, this is talking about the birth of John the Baptist. And Zacharias is in the temple. In verse 67, we pick it up. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost after he's seen this vision in the temple. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." I'm sorry, after the birth of John the Baptist, this is where Zacharias now is able to speak, and he's prophesying. "Was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of their God, of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Notice this. "The day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace." It's grace. The day spring on high has illuminated the lighted path of grace for all mankind. Go with me to John chapter 1 and let's look at this light. John chapter 1, we learn about the bright and morning star's light. In John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The life was the light of men. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Not believe through John, but believe through the light. "It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And there's every man. Is that what your Bible says? Every man. Our salvation is not limited to a group of people that are predestinated by God. It is whosoever will. It's every man that cometh into the world. And of course, that man means mankind. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The light illuminates the grace that is extended to every man, and every man, woman, child can be saved. And that grace is extended to all of them, and the bright and morning star illuminates that path through the darkness to the light. Go with me to John chapter 8 in verse number 12. Jesus calls himself here another title that I'm sort of combining these two together. John 8, chapter 8, verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am," there's that title we talked about many weeks ago, "I am," the name, "the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you no longer are a son of darkness. You are no longer a daughter of darkness. You no longer are to dwell in darkness. You are a light of life. You have been given the light of life through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. One more verse in John chapter 9 and verse 5. We see it, Jesus also speaking. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is extending His light out to all mankind. And now, of course, we are the light of the world now that Jesus Christ is in heaven. Matthew chapter 4. Our time is fleeting away. Matthew chapter 4, look at with me in verse 12. Matthew 4:12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, He departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw what? Great light. Not little light, not mediocre light, not dim light, but great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, life is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The light of Christ has been extended to all the world, and Jesus Christ began that ministry while He was on the earth ministering, saying, I am the light of the world. And He's going to tell us, we'll see later, for the sake of time, we'll see that we are the light of the world now. So the light illuminates the grace that is extended to us. The bright and morning star is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And then we see the light imparts eternal life to all who believe. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, group of believers. And he's writing to them in chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, and you hath He quickened, or made alive. That's what quickened means. He's made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's where we were. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, at one point you were quickened, you were made alive, and who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and we could say amen to that, we did. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, and that's who we served before we were saved. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God that is extended to all mankind is that grace. And is extended to us through the light. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Peter has gone through quite a change in his life since the crock crew and he denied Christ three times. 2 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye dwell, you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. What does that remind you of? But the morning star, Venus, shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. It says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. This is the more sure word of prophecy. And the Holy Spirit uses this and illuminates this in our and our studies of the Scriptures. If you'll ask Him, He'll show you what this means and apply it to your hearts and lives then. Acts chapter 26, if you'll look there quickly, looking at the eternal life that's imparted to us through the light. Acts 28 and verse 18. To open, Jesus Christ is speaking here, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. We have to back up. Let me back up to verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Paul is presenting the gospel to King Agrippa. And what he's doing is remembering back the time when he was on the Damascus Road and Christ called out to him. He says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes." What is Paul's mission? Is to go to the Gentiles and to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is what we are to do. We are to go and to turn those that are in darkness to light by showing them the light of the world. The light imparts eternal life to all who believe. Only after this light has illuminated and shown us our need of the grace of God, then once we act on this and believe, only if we looked at, I don't have time to explain all that is on my heart this morning, but if we looked out and we saw a room of darkness and we shined a flashlight, one of those nice high beam flashlights into a dark room, what does that flashlight do but shine the light into the darkness, doesn't it not? And if you got one of those newfangled flashlights that's got those high definition bulbs or whatever they are, and you shine in there, it's even brighter and glows and dispels the darkness. Only after it has such intensity shown us what we are, that light shining into our hearts and shining into our consciousness and showing us what we are by the intensity of the light, only then will we say, "I need to repent. I need to trust Christ as my Savior." That is why repentance comes before salvation. And that repentance comes when the light shines to us our need of the grace of God and that we are sinners on the way to hell. Repentance precedes salvation. And the light is the instrument that God uses to show us our need, the light of the world. Then, and only then, does it take residence in our hearts. And that leads us into how the light intensifies the desire for us as now believers to depart from darkness. John chapter 12 shows us many verses we could go to this morning. But go to John chapter 12 with me. Look at verse 35. John 12, verse 35. "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you." He's talking about himself. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." And go to verse 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." We are told not to abide in darkness if we have believed the light. We now have the light reside in our hearts, and the light has illuminated our need of the grace of God, and the light has shown us and imparted to us our need and the intensity of the light, and shows us our need to depart from that darkness of our hearts and our lives and our world around us. And we are to desire to depart from that darkness. Romans chapter 13, and one verse here, Romans 13 and verse 12, the night, I love this verse, the night is far spent. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, to the believers in Rome, back in the first century A.D. And he's writing to them and trying to encourage them in the work of the Lord. Persecution was coming, and it was going to be horrible persecution to the church there. And Paul is writing to them, trying to encourage them to work for God while the day is yet. And he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. If we look towards the eastern sky, whichever way east is right now, I'm turned around. If we look towards the eastern sky, and we looked and we saw the morning star, the brightness of it shining, it's telling us the night is far spent. The dawn is getting ready to come. There's very little time left to serve the Lord. We must be busy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now..." Here it is. "But now are ye..." Who is the letter to the Ephesians written to? Believers, correct? He's writing to the church of Ephesus, to believers, and he's encouraging them, Paul is, and he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We are to depart from darkness. And we each know our own hearts better than anybody else that is alive today. Only God knows our hearts better than we know it ourselves. And we know the darkness that can drag us back into the darkness. And we know the darkness that says, "Oh, come over just for a short little spell." We know the darkness that we crave or we love or we have tendency to be drawn to. He says, "Depart from it, because ye are the children of light." It says to put on the armor of light, to walk in the light. The light is to intensify that desire to depart from darkness. Look with me in 1 Peter. Not enough time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." I can say amen to that. I'm a peculiar person. "That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are to show forth the praises of Him, that Him is Jesus Christ, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If you have darkness in your life today and you call yourself a born-again Christian, you have known there is a time and place you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're walking in darkness, you need to repent. We all need to repent. We need to draw closer to the light. We need to put on the armor of light. We need to depart from darkness and live for the light and walk in the light as children of the light. The light of the bright and morning star shines forth the grace of God. It shines forth the need of our salvation. And it shines forth with intensity how we are to depart from darkness. The light instructs and invigorates us to service because the night is far spent. The day dawn is approaching. If we had time, I'd take you to 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 10. We could see that we were to remember the gift. Paul is talking to Timothy. He's telling about Eunice and Lois. He says, remember the gift that you have been given. Stir up the gift that you have been given and embrace the gift that you have been given, which is the light that you have been given. And then lastly, go with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, look with me in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Ye. Us. Believers. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We could sing that little children's song that we use, hiding under a bushel. No, remember that little hymn, little song? We are the light of the world, and we are not to hide our light from the world. At this season, my, how we should be allowing our light to shine, as well as every other season. The light of the morning star can be compared to Jesus, because when He rises and shines on a believer's heart, He fills them with the hope that the darkness of this world will soon pass away, and the bright and clear and pure light of heaven will soon be shining around us. We are surrounded in a world of darkness and evil, but one day, and it may be today, Christ will return. And we will be forever in His presence and in the presence of the light of the world, the bright morning star. Allow us at this time to depart from darkness and embrace the light and walk as the children of light. Lord, You've stirred my heart with this lesson, and I pray, dear Lord, that You would help me to be the light of the world. Allow me to be a child of the light, to walk in the light, to embrace the light, to stir up the gift that's in me of the light. Help me to put on the armor of light every day. And I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us, dear Lord, as believers, to be the children of light that You have saved us to be. That grace that You have extended to us, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to be the light of the world. I pray, dear Lord, You bless our pastor in the next hour. Fill him with the Holy Spirit power. Strengthen him and give him exactly what we need, dear Lord, and prepare our hearts for the message. For it's in Christ's name I pray and ask it. Amen.